But we have a bit of silence at the moment and begin our meeting at 6:30. So as always, we'll start with our opening statement. Council acknowledges that we meet on the traditional lands and waters of the Paramount and Kaurna people. They are the custodians of this ancient and beautiful land, and so we pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We care for this country together by ensuring the decisions we make will be guided by the principle that we should never decrease our children's ability to live on this land. So we'll move on to point three. We do have two apologies this evening. They are Councillor Pascali and Mayor Wisdom. So I note that Mayor Wisdom has submitted a leave of absence, but until that's approved, which happens to be the next item, we do note it as an apology. So we'll move on to the next item, which is leave of absence. And you have a motion before you. Councillor Gill, would you like to move it on the screen?
Yes, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And someone's the second. Councillor Boyd, would anyone like to debate? Go on. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. And we have no one absent. So move on to point four, minutes of the previous meeting. We have two meetings to endorse the minutes of, the first one being on the 23rd of January 2024. Would someone like to move that they confirm is accurate? Yep, Councillor Herman and Councillor Grant, all those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. And then we'll move on to the second, which was a special council meeting on the 5th of February, last Monday. Councillor Gill, you're happy to move as printed. And a seconder, Councillor Mudge. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Does anyone have a declaration of conflict of interest to bring to our attention this evening? No? So I move on to opening remarks. I will make a few remarks. Firstly, obviously, with the mayor taking an extended leave of absence, we all do wish her well on her break and hope for that to help her improve her health as necessary. I guess I'll just make a few points regarding my intention or my hopes and intention to be in this role for the next few months. And that is to really help us work together and to work well for the benefit of our community. When I say us, I mean both us as an elected body and the administration. What comes with that is to be respectful of the views of others. Debate is always good. It's a good thing. If we didn't have debate and differences of opinion, what was the point of being here? We just have the administration to run it for us. As a good example of good debate, I'll note Councillor Herman. So back when we had the representation review, it was a controversial issue, and you debated very strongly on that. And I remember you grabbed the strategic plan, you whacked it down, and said, "Oh, you know, we're not representing our community. What's the point of this document?" But at no point did you ever personalise it or attack a particular individual, and that's really important. So I'm going to use that as a reference. So I do think differences are really healthy, but we need to be thoughtful in the way we communicate and understand that we're all here for the right reason. There's some really important items which we're going to be delving into over the coming months. At the heart of that is our strategic plan. So I just hope all of you remember those points, and I think you are all here for the right reasons. Okay, moving on to seven. There are no questions adjourned. There are no questions lying on the table. Item eight, we have no petitions, no deputations. As always, we have a public forum. So is anyone from the public would like to speak? I don't think there is anyone here. Right, that's fine. So we'll move on. We do have one presentation tonight from the Department of Infrastructure and Transport by Mr. Andy Nicholson. So if you'd like to come forward, this is regarding the Crapers Park and Ride project update, something our community has a keen interest in. And we have, look forward to hearing how that is progressing. I saw it just begin recently, which is great. So didn't look like a long presentation, but I'll let you know you have 15 minutes plus 5 minutes for questions. Would you prefer to take questions along the way or at the end of the presentation?
I'm quite happy to have them along along the way. We tend to be quite an open and honest discussion about what we're doing there.
Sure.
And a bit of a project update, really. So feel free to fire any questions.
Excellent. So if an elected member does have a question at any point, if you can just raise your hand to bring to my attention, and then we'll pause and direct that question to you. All right.
Thanks very much. My name's Andy Nicholson. I am a delivery manager for the Department of Infrastructure and Transport, and I've got with me Tiffany Davies, who's the project manager for the DRT. for the Creators Park Ride. This presentation has been adapted to pretty much what we submitted to the Parliamentary Public Works Committee back in November regarding the Creators Park Ride. Seconding the acknowledgement of the traditional custodians of the country. Essentially, we've got the existing park right on that northwestern side of the OFG interchange there. The new park and ride is on that southeastern side, around the Craters off ramp. As you're probably well aware, there's significant parking issues and traffic in the morning around peak hour, where traffic does extend all the way up Waverley Ridge Road, and parking does too. I think there's a sense of frustration among your constituents around parking in the area, and park and ride hopefully addresses some of that. So the scope of the work is 85 additional car parks within that small reserve there. It forms part of the being committed from the state budget to improve transport and support roads in Mount Barker and Adelaide Hills. As you're probably well aware, it's the closest park and ride, and it's well utilised. Myself even coming up to TechSite well in advance of works occurring. They've got that difficult to park in the existing park and ride. Pretty much every time I came up here, it was full. So if you got there early, you missed out. And the parking and drive upgrade would encourage public transport use and reduce the reliance on private vehicles. A little bit about the location. Trying to keep it as close as possible to the existing park and ride, and also to the bus stop. One of the key considerations for us as a delivery team has been trying to minimise the impact on communities and residents during construction. And council's officers have been fantastic in giving us some ideas on where we may be able to park our vehicles away from the general public and where they're parking to minimise that disruption. As you're aware, that northern car park continues to operate at full capacity within the world. If you haven't been past there recently, the location of the park and ride is at that southeastern corner. There's a roundabout there. The land's already owned by the Commissioner of Highways. It essentially is a bit of abutment from where the original interchange was built. So that vegetation has been removed, essentially planted over field that was installed as part of that previous project. We have granted all the necessary approvals to remove that vegetation, and you'll notice on site that there has been some clearing and grubbing already occurred. Yes,
I don't know if I've already mentioned it, I might have missed it, but how many parks are there in the existing Craters Park and Ride? If you're looking for over 80 in the new park and ride, how much have we already got?
39.
So it's more than double?
Yes. Yep.
Right. Thank you.
Yes.
Councillor Graham.
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. Thanks for the presentation so far. I thought I'd just add to that question. The 85 new parks, is there any evidence base to say that's sufficient for the demand currently, or for if we get to so many years? Is that something you managed to do and say this will meet demand now or for the next 10 years? Because it's probably going to grow, but anyway, your thoughts, please.
No, certainly will grow as part of the overall development to be up at Mount Barker. I can probably take part of that on notice, not having been involved in the planning study, but certainly can get back to you about what's the projected use at day of opening and what they've allowed for in the future. There was part of the planning study consideration for extension of the existing park and ride as well.
Councillor Munn. And then Councillor Sully.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, look,
Since we're talking about trees, I'd be interested in knowing how many and what type of trees are being removed and whether there is any consideration or planned offset for the removal of those trees.
Good question. And it's something that certainly comes up a fair bit. 10 regulated and 2 significant trees that need to be removed. And there's a loss of scrub vegetation that has around 36 amenity trees and small low-lying bushes, for example. So in terms of planting works, we're planting 31 trees in the car park area and an offset amount of $20,681 into the major vegetation fund.
Thank you for you, Mayor. I was going to bring this up later, but since we've been talking about the capacity of the car park, it's relevant now.
Yeah.
This car park's obviously to address the problem of excess cars that are there and demand at the site, and I'm one of the people that sometimes drives there and catch the bus. But part of that problem is caused by the fact that there's not a lot of bicycle service in the outer areas. And I'm just wondering, you know, in the feasibility stage of this project, was there any consideration given to improving services rather than just building a place for more people to come to the same node?
Very much the same style question, but I will have to take that one on note, being from the delivery team. Certainly the design of this has been done in consideration with the South Australian Public Transport Authority, essentially, and we'll probably get to a little bit further. Rather than council maintain car park, will actually be maintained by SAFTA. So they have put a lot of input into the design. In terms of the planning and future, you know, increase of public services, I will have to say that I noticed there has been excessive planning work done. And obviously there was a bit of talk at the project opening from the minister about his planned increase in services within the year.
So we've got Councillor Herman and then Councillor Boyd, and then I might let you move on in your presentation. I did notice that. There's only a few slides left. Councillor Herman.
It's just a quick question about, you mentioned car parks. Is there any provision there for bicycle parking? Call it that.
So in terms of bicycles, I believe, so on this side, there's a number of hoops. I don't think there's any additional bike storage lockers. They are in the existing parking lot on the northwestern side. Utilisation of those isn't particularly high, so that we're sort of meeting the night demand.
So there are no lockers, but there are the traditional.
I believe so. Yeah.
Councillor Boyd, and just make sure we can activate the microphone.
So thank you for that. Yeah, so overall, the goal of this is to get less cars on the road or more cars off the road. And I suppose that's a good reason to have a park and ride because people jump on that. But like Councillor Selwood said, we've got to have better buses to funnel in here. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, would there ever be scope to do another similar park and ride on the southwest corner? But I know there's a lot of trees there, but I mean, is that something that could be considered down the track?
I'm not sure together how to answer that one, not being on the planning side of things, very much on the delivery arm of the department. They can take it on the road. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll move on to the next slide. We've got a bit of an artist's impression there of what the new parking ride will look like once complete. We are looking at improving some of the, not obvious on that, but some of the pedestrian facilities, so the cut through on the western leg of the roundabout there, for example, is quite narrow, and we're looking at widening that to allow wheelchair users and also cyclists, if multiple people crossing at once as well, to improve that, and also to make the path infrastructure a little bit more obvious there, on that western side of the roundabout there.
Councillor Silver, do you want to?
Yeah, just on the pathways. So what I observe when I'm there is often that there's a lot of pedestrian safety issues crossing across on the top of the roundabout there, but also coming across the left-hand side of the roundabout on that picture, is the scope of works of this project, including getting pedestrians from that car park to the bus stop on the Craters ramp?
Yes, so we're trying to upgrade that western lead that you're talking about. So that's one we are widening and improving there. We are also looking at on the Waverley Ridge Road leg, doing an additional cut through closer to the roundabout because the current pedestrian walk through is further up Waverley Ridge. We anticipate as more people use the park and ride, some may cross the off ramp and then Waverley Ridge to get to the bus stop. We'll upgrade that one.
Follow-up question? Yeah, just a follow-up question. You mentioned that you want to move the crossing on Waverley Ridge Road closer to the roundabout. That provides a lot of problems for people with vision impairment as they can't see indicators at a roundabout.
Yep.
So the desired outcome for people with vision impairment is to have pedestrian crossing set back from the roundabout so that they can anticipate the traffic that's coming towards. Does that mean something you've considered in that?
Yeah, certainly. The design is considered quite a lot. At the moment, though, the crossing is quite a way up Waverley Ridge Road, so the desire lines are straight across the front of the roundabout. So that's currently in design, something that's come out when we did our walkthrough at the start, kick off the project, watch how people are using the site, and we saw a number of people cross that point closer to the roundabout, and thought that we may need to do something about that as well. You can probably see from that image as well. So the entrance is the car, the park and ride comes in essentially an extra leg off the roundabout, and then the exit is a right turn only onto the Craters off ramp. Might be showing a bit better on the slide. So overall, out of those 85 parks, we have two accessible parking bays. You can see on the image there, and a number of motorcycle parking bays as well. It will be well lit with LED lighting, and will also have CCTV cameras for additional security. So there is a computer equipment ring, which you see on the bottom of the image there. It's essentially a small hut in which people are fire equipment in. There are opportunities for a bit of public artwork on this here when we do install them around train stations. They're often a good opportunity for public artists to get people involved. But we'll be looking at doing that as the project progresses. And just a bit of an update on where we're at. So we had all our approvals essentially for native beds in October. PwC was November. Development application through the SCAP was 2nd of January. And we met all the additional requirements of the SCAP. Contract award date was the 10th of January, and the works commenced on the 5th of January. 5th of February, it's really weather dependent, this type of work. It's very much a pavement job. So, if the weather's good, we will definitely finish mid 2024. If the weather's bad, it might be a little bit later. But fingers crossed, some dry weather. Not often the case, but I'm trying to get a bit more. But we have sufficient flight in our program to account for a bit of weather. So hoping for mid-year, pretty much open to the public. Minor works may roll into the next financial year, but that would be minor things like landscape or problems with mulch and irrigation, that type of thing that would be open to the public. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One more. Community engagement. So we've got a number of community engagement dropping sessions. One on Sunday, and one on Wednesday, 24th. And essentially, that's the drop-in session with both the department And also the contractors, B&B, that we'll be able to talk through any questions they may have about construction, noise, vibration impacts are generally ones that come up quite a bit, any grievances that they may have, or in general, project experience, the face of the name of someone that they can contact. So that will be very soon. So we're doing a lot of project updates and notifications being sent out broadly, just around our general fact sheets, noise and construction and the like. And then through our social media, project progresses. The other thing we'll be having a time-lapse camera set up over the site, just to, at the end of the project, be able to show the full life cycle, and that'll end up on socials as well.
Councillor Stillwood, you have a question?
Yeah, my question's around engagement. Is that mostly at this stage about giving information to people? And you mentioned that they may raise grievances and things at those drop-in sessions. How will that feedback be taken on board in the delivery of the project?
Yeah, I guess throughout the delivery phase, a lot of those grievances are either to do with parking, noise, dust, vibration and the like. And there are things that we can do to try and accommodate those. So there are issues with dust, for example. It's watering down the site, making sure that we're monitoring it well enough, keep on top of our contractors. If it's to do with noise as well, we can be looking at the hours at which we're doing certain activities. So it's really, if we do notice the pattern of complaints from members of the public, then we do look at what we're doing and see if we can reprogram activities to make it less impactful. I think one of the things that was really good with the engagement with council officers was actually just discussions about where would be suitable parking during the works, noting that when someone gets to the existing parking ride in the morning and sees a DIP car or a B&B car parked where they want to park, it gets quite frustrating because we're there for 6 months and they're missing out on parking. So we do have alternate arrangements in place to park up near the tennis court for those workers. We will have naturally some trucks and track controllers used that need to park down near the site, but we'll try to keep that impact to the public as little as possible.
Councillor Munch and then Councillor Herman, we've got 2 minutes left, so I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Matthew. Yeah, I've got two questions which I might just shoot very quickly. I drove past yesterday and had a look. It seems like it's in a big basin, the whole site. How are you planning to deal with the topography of the land? You're going to have roads going down.
We're putting up a significant amount of aggregate material spent, I think, for the two sites. So changing the levels quite considerably, so it's not as much of an impact.
It's going to be still.
Yeah.
The second one was, it was actually a comment that I made on the initial consultation plans. That car park exit onto the off ramp, was any consideration given to the safety of that? A couple of people made that comment.
Quite a lot. So, certainly, safety to detect the site distances is the main thing that we look at in that scenario. So, making sure that both the people coming off the off ramp and the person turning had the right reaction time so they can see the car turning with distances at certain speed. So that has been assessed and reviewed the timing. We are going to be putting up additional signs as well to make motors aware when they're coming off that off ramp so they know that there is potentially car coming out. So, yeah. But it is quite close to the existing roundabout where that exit is. So they should be slowing down to a reasonable amount, otherwise they'll just around that. Yeah.
Councillor Herman, that's the last question.
Yeah, thank you. One's a little shy wave on. Fantastic park. I personally don't live over this way, but the residents will really use that. No suggestions before of making it paid parking. That's not in the long term plan anyway.
No proposals in paid parking.
What was the total cost?
$6 million is the budget.
Can I just have a minute? And someone made the comment that $153,000 per car park, that's a fair bit.
It's about
Did I do something wrong?
Yeah, you divided by 40, it's 80, yeah? 80 car park?
85,000 per car park, yeah, seems an inordinate amount of money.
You pay about 250,000 per room in the house.
we'll leave it at that.
a few subcontractors lining up, I reckon.
We'll move on. Thank you very much for coming to present to us. It is an important project for our community. Councillor Hammond's right, there's a lot of interest, and we look forward to it being completed and our community being able to use it. So thank you very much.
I'm certainly happy to do an update at a later date, and also taking some questions on notice, and look forward to that.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you. Okay, so presentations concluded. We'll move on. There are no questions on notice. There is one motion on notice, 11.1, proposed amendment, mayor seeking legal advice and policy, put forward by Councillor Osterstock. So I'll now pass it over to Councillor Osterstock to move, speak to the motion, and seek a seconder. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I seek to add an additional point three, and for the minute taker, the point three will be that the Chief Executive Officer will cause this policy to be further reviewed and presented to Council for consideration, as part of that review, a council workshop is to be convened within the next 3 calendar months. Members, in speaking to the motion, council's current policy, as it presently stands, delegates absolute authority to the mayor when it comes to the obtaining of legal advice in circumstances where the council is to consider a matter related to the CEO, for example, urgent CEO employment-related issues, or where council is investigating a failure by the CEO to comply with a resolution of council, or where a matter relates to the exercise of the CEO's powers. Before I go on, I'll formally move the motion. The circumstances giving rise to the need for such advice and the decision to obtain said advice under the current policy as it stands, this is at the sole discretion of the mayor, in isolation of the views and opinions of any other elected member of council. Indeed, pursuant to the provision of section 102A of the Local Government Act, the council must review the performance of the Chief Executive Officer. In order to assist council in fulfilling its legislative responsibilities, amongst other committees of council, it established the CEO Performance Review Panel, which includes, amongst other members, a presiding member, the mayor and the deputy mayor. Section 5.3 of the policy addresses circumstances where, and I quote, the legal advice relates to the CEO or the exercise of the CEO's powers, it is possible that the mayor may wish to seek legal advice in relation to the CEO's powers or conduct in relation to other committees, such as the Audit Committee of Council. Council may wish to expand, the advice I received once I submitted my original motion was to confine it to the CEO Performance Review Panel. However, following advice from the administration, and I concur with that advice, this matter may extend to other committees of council, and hence an amendment was put into my original motion that would that originally changed it from the deputy mayor and the presiding member of the CEO performance panel to the deputy mayor and the relevant presiding member of a committee of council, such as the audit committee. There may be such times as the mayor may feel that it's necessary to obtain legal advice into a matter involving the CEO and the audit committee, and hence I feel it's appropriate that the mayor consult with those presiding members. Importantly, the proposed amendment requires the mayor to obtain the agreement of both the deputy mayor and the presiding member of a council committee, as the case may be, before legal advice is obtained. The requirement to obtain the agreement of both the Deputy Mayor and a presiding member of the Council Committee will provide additional layers of oversight, scrutiny and accountability when it comes to the Mayor exercising the powers conferred under this discretionary policy of Council. However, built into the proposed amendment, it also provides the Mayor with an option. If the Mayor is unable to reach agreement from the Deputy Mayor or the presiding member of the Council Committee, pursuant to Section 82 of the Act, the Mayor may call a special meeting of Council. And a special meeting of Council under the amendments to the Act can be called at any time whatsoever. Similar to myself, the Deputy Mayor and Councillor Grant, we liaised with the administration last Friday or the Friday before and called a special meeting of Council for our meeting at Woodside on the Monday. There was no time delay, there was no impediment to the functioning of Council. It was a very quick and easy process to convene a special meeting of Council. So if the Mayor of the day is unable to obtain agreement from the presiding members of the Council Committee concerned and the Deputy Mayor, the Mayor can exercise the option and call a special meeting of Council and bring the issue, whatever that might be, to the full Council for consideration. That is the appropriate way for business to be conducted if agreement under this proposed amendment cannot be reached.
Go to that in 30 seconds.
Thank you. In terms of point three, and I thank members for their input, I feel that a workshop will be beneficial, hence point three of the motion, but it is, in my view, important that we make these modest amendments to the current policy as proposed that requires agreement from the Mayor, the Deputy Mayor and the presiding member of the respective committee for the reasoning that I have outlined in my debate. So I commend the motion to the Chamber and I ask for your support.
Thanks, Councillor. So, for a T, if you have a second, it's just a point made by Ms. Riddle around where it says, and the presiding member, based on your debate, I think it should say the relevant presiding member.
I'll accept that. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, does Councillor Sopp have a seconder? Councillor Grant, would you like to speak to the motion?
Yeah, thank you, Worship. I'll speak briefly and I thank Councillor Ossoff for this motion. When this policy was first adopted by the Chamber, of course it could easily have contained such requirements as this. We simply didn't think of it at the time. I think these are modest and sensible alterations to be made. I think it's good because it tightens up the governance here in the use of ratepayers' funds. And it's also good because I think it ensures collaboration when these sorts of matters are addressed with the burden of office for the Mayor, of course, can be shared amongst us. That's our role. And as a presiding member of the CEO Performance Review Panel, I certainly would welcome this sort of approach to discuss matters relating to the performance of the panel. I support the motion. I think this is sensible and modest. Doubtless, if we workshop this matter, we'll find other ways to refine it, and that's good policy making, I think. So, yeah, I certainly support the motion.
Councillor Hammond, would you like to speak?
Yes, I'll speak in the motion. I'll speak in support of the motion, principally in my role as the presiding member of the Audit Committee. I guess, as the presiding member, I would be disappointed if the Mayor sought some advice, CEO or whatever, about the relationship or the ongoing of the Audit Committee and the CEO without my knowledge. I'd be very disappointed about that. Only to find at the later date that this legal advice had come in, I think I could feel embarrassed. So I think it's good, open policy, transparent, and gives everyone, the relevant people, I should say, the opportunity to provide advice for the Mayor. So I will be supporting as the presiding member of the Audit Committee.
Thank you, Councillor Herman. Would anyone else like to see? Councillor Parkin.
Yeah, thank you, through your worship. I would like to speak in support of this as well as a member of CEO PRP. I think these extra layers of, accountability are really important. For the record, I'm not sure we really do need a workshop. I don't know what a workshop would achieve in terms of refining this any further. So I'm actually not sure what we would talk about in a workshop other than this seems like a good idea and the policy seems to be fine. So I don't know how people feel about removing number three and if anyone desperately feels that they need a workshop. It's just really about tightening this policy up, making sure it's sensible and making sure that there's some governance and layers of accountability moving forward.
Thanks, Councillor Pogo. I can speak to that a little bit because, yeah, with that, the policy is up for review in September anyway. And given that we are making a change and there may be other changes that the selected body would want to make to tighten that up further in whatever way they feel relevant, instead of kind of trying to make amendments and doing it on the fly now, we can refer it to that workshop. And it, you know, ultimately, if the elected body say, no, it's good the way it is, we've made the change we want, and that's fine, but we may, in due course, think that there are other changes we wish to make. Councillor Selwood, would you like to speak to the motion?
No, I just have a question.
Sure.
Just in relation to your comments just then about it coming up for review in September. Right. So will this, does the administration see this point three here, that workshop would be then the workshop that we would do for that review in September, or would that then require another workshop?
No.
Okay, great. Thank you.
No one has. Anybody else like to speak to the motion?
If it's consistent.
Is it consistent with what you read out? Ms. Riddle just wants to check what's on the screen is exactly what you put forward.
There is a four missing.
Where's four?
There's no point jumping from 3 to 5.
No, that's 5. That's the policy.
That's the policy.
Yeah, the numbers. Section. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, okay. Do you need a roll of the
No.
Okay, with the debate closed, all those in favour, please indicate. It is Councillor Grant, and that is carried unanimously. Okay, we will move on to administration report decision items. So the first one, 12.1. Adelaide Hills Woodside Memorial Swimming Centre feasibility study outcomes. So, Ms. Bonham, Ms. Cummings, do you have anything new or additional information that you can provide to the chamber to help them make their decision?
I'm happy to be there. No, nothing further.
Okay, thank you. Would someone like to move something in relation to this item? Councillor Boyd?
Yeah.
Would you like to move as printed in the agenda?
Yes, please.
Would you like to speak?
Yes,
option?
I would, thank you. First of all, there's four options. And I think the first option is a good one to go to, which is the minimum of just a splash and water park. So I'm speaking in support of the motion. I think that the 750 is good. Breathing there. It was really interesting to read that, when we had our last visit to the pool, it was discussed that 750 might be a good value for a splash and water park, because it's much better value than just $400,000 just for a splash pool only, and it will attract more visitors at the prime age group. I think we should go for the smallest, more affordable option and save our money for better use elsewhere, because in the document, which is an amazing document, on page 299, they discuss the idea of having a pool in Stirling down the track, and based on this analysis, they said a new small indoor pool would attract more members, visits, and winter swim participants in Stirling and surrounds compared with Woodside into 2023. So I think we need to give ourselves some time to look at that as an option down the track when we do have many more millions to spend if we come across more grants.
You let me know when we have that. Sorry.
But yeah, in the meantime, I just think just having a toddler splash pool is not going to attract families as much as having it with a big bucket falling off. I don't know if you've seen the picture photos, but they're amazing. They can do amazing things with a little amount of money. And I think we're going to do it. We want to attract new customers. And we should just do it and attract those new customers.
Thank you, Councillor Boyd. Councillor, would you like to second? Would you like to speak to the motion?
Yes. Thank you, Acting Mayor. Yes, I'd like to speak to it. I think this is a really good bunch of reports, basically, and it's on my time on council. I reckon it's probably the most comprehensive set of reports and consideration I've actually seen. And I think the consultants that have done a lot of it, and the staff that have worked on this have done a really, really good job. I think the thing that is really clear to me is that all we're doing here is allocating some additional $350,000 towards the Splash Park project, which I guess is contingent on grant money, and also $200,000 from the full committee. And the other thing, which I think is a really good thing to do, because I'm really banging on about asset management plans, is that we have an asset management plan for this facility, because that really makes sure that we have appropriate levels of service and that we have appropriate money to future upgrades for it. And I think essentially, well, I wouldn't say we're kicking down the road the decision on upgrades to the facility, but I know that it also says that we'll have some workshops where we can work through additional steps and stuff. So I think that's a really good thing. Look, I can end my.
Thank you, Councillor Munch. Councillor Sell, would you like to speak?
I'll just speak quite briefly, I think. I did have a lot of community members contact me when the roof over the pool was first proposed a few years ago, and they were really nervous about it. A lot of people felt like it was going to lose the feeling of a community pool, and that's what they love about it. And so I think what the administration has done here in undertaking this feasibility study has really explored those options, and it's given us a really clear recommendation that, you know, the roof is maybe not the best way to go, but that we do need to retain it as a community feel and an outdoor pool, and that's what people love about it. So I think the work that's been done here has been really valuable. One councillor, I don't remember who it was, but someone at a workshop recently said that when we spend money, it's really great when we can spend it in a way that benefits the whole community. And I think this is one of those proposals that does that. You know, we allocate this extra bit of funding and everyone in our council area can travel to Woodside Pool and enjoy it. And a lot of people do travel from the entire council area and outside the council area to enjoy this pool. So I think this is an excellent idea to beef up this splash park, and I commend the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Herman.
Yes, I'll support the motion, but I just had a question.
Sure.
How helps the local roads committee of the social funding? Phase 3 and phase 4. Has phase 3 been opened and submitted?
Mr. Waters, you like that one? Yeah, how does he know that?
Yeah, I thought about it. Yeah, through you, Acting Mayor. Phase 3 was submitted some time ago, which is that first 200
and there. And is there an indication of when the decision will be made on Phase 3?
Phase 3 has already been done.
It's Phase 4.
So we've already allocated Phase 3. So what we're looking at the council's resolution tonight, if it goes ahead like this, is saying in Phase 4, which is open at the moment, we'll allocate $200,000 of it to this project.
And when does that close?
Well, we can put that submission in up until June, but we'll be putting the submission in tomorrow, probably, just to get time.
Just the other question, and I may have missed the report that I'm intended to do. Has there been reference to the ongoing cost with its capital funding, the cost of the council on the annual cost of interest, etc.?
What do you mean by interest?
Well, we'll be borrowing, I assume, the $350,000 capital for the capital funding.
Well, about 150, so 200 would come from the phase 4. So if you look at the breakdown, there's 150 from our general fund.
General capital fund.
Yeah, and then 200 from phase 3, 200 from phase 4, 200 from the
community. I misread the council's additional 350.
In a sense it is, because it does mean that there's $200,000 not going to another project, but in terms of our ratepayers fund, it's 150.
If it's borrowed money, somewhere that should be accountable. In the proposals that come forward, what the ongoing cost would be for the council for the interest?
I don't recall that specifically being in the report, but it's good. But anyone else? Councillor Brown, you'd like to
see
information?
Yeah, thank you, Worship. Just briefly, I think this is a testament to what happens when you get the appropriate expertise and the amount of work goes into finding an outcome, which I don't think was envisaged a few years ago, and an excellent one. And I suppose I just want to say in general, the progress this council has made in the sport and rec space, I think, has been quite extraordinary from the time I've been on council. So it's full credit to staff involved. This is another big win, I think. Well done.
Thanks, Councillor Rahm. Would anyone else like to speak in relation to Councillor Harkin?
So very briefly, and really just to endorse what Councillor Grant said about, you know, the progress of sport and rec across the whole council, in previous councils and continuing to this one, we've made strong inroads in making sure that in terms of attention and spend, that we make sure all parts of the council have had a lot of, time, attention and money spent in making sure that things are distributed, you know, very equitably. And that all parts of the council residents have, I guess, as much access as they possibly can. And I know a couple of years ago we had one of the highest participation rates of kids in organised sport in the country. I'm assuming that we still do. It's something that I'm really proud of, and I think we should all be very proud of, and it's really great to see that investment continuing. Yes, I commend the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Park. Would anyone else like to speak for the motion? So we'll go back to Councillor Boyd.
Thank you. Just very briefly. It was heartening to hear that with the research they did into our current 25-metre pool, is that it's done 50 years and it could do another 50. So I think they're doing the right thing by not focusing on that asset this stage and looking at what else we can present to bring the community together. And I think that we get bigger bang for our buck. Well, I'm certain we get bigger bang for our buck when we do both the splash park and the water park together. And we're going to have remarkable results to the kids around the place. And then just as Councillor Herman mentioned, we can look at it as though it's only 150k from our pocket, because the rest does come from an LRCIP in phase four. And I think, wow, what a result we can get. That's a really good spend. So I commend the motion.
Thanks, Councillor Boyd. Before I put it to the vote, I'll just make a couple of little points. We had, as you know, I'm the teacher at Peak Good Home, we had the swimming carnival there a couple of weeks ago on the Friday, and it was just a really fantastic event. And I think one of the reasons that it was so good is because of the setting of the Woodside pool, the grass area, the fact that it doesn't have a roof over it. I think if those things existed, if there was not the grass area, there was a roof, it just wouldn't have that same feel. And also, the other point I want to make is that the splash park, as we're, it sounds like, unanimously going to support, is a real point of difference when it comes to what's happening in our park, and I think that's critical. So we have two distinct points of difference, that amenity and that unique feel of it, and then also the splash park. So I think it will serve the Woodside pool really well moving forward. All right, the debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. So we will move now on to item 12.2, which is the Community Halls Insurance Grant Guidelines Report. Ms. Cummings, do you have any new information you'd like to provide to the Chamber?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Just to answer a couple of questions we had today, from myself actually. One of the questions was, will we direct contact to all of the whole community to make them aware of this grant scheme? And we have done that late last year. We've emailed everybody. We've had requests come through already for reimbursement of their insurance. The community on calls, and for those that we don't hear from, we will chase them up to make sure that they're well aware of that opportunity for us to support them. It's a new space for those community on calls, which is good. It counts all the work of it. And one of the other questions was, the community owned halls, it would seem they're non-profit and the focus is on community. Are there any requirements for them to demonstrate a level of financial stability or, to provide us with financial information regarding the operation of those halls in order for them to obtain that grant? At this stage, no. You could see in terms of seeking information from hall operators, even in relation to our own hall, in terms of what their financial operations are, what their succession planning looks like, how booked out they are, all that sort of thing. So as part of our rolling out of our management services agreement for our council own halls, we are going to start to interact a bit more with those hall operators in terms of how they're going, what support council can provide to them in the future, but also for us to understand are they financially sustainable? And so we may get a bit more sophisticated with that in the future, which are the community-owned pools and the support that we provide to them as well. So we're really just starting to open up that communication. So at the moment, this is a grant opportunity where they're obviously providing us with a copy of their receipt and judgment information about their programs, and then that will be entitled to that grant up to $2,000.
Thank you. Because you did present your information, I think I have a couple of questions. Councillor Selwood and Councillor Lunch.
Thank you. And through you, Acting Mayor, I've got two questions. The first one is, it talked about the current program being assessed in the guidelines, and I'm just wondering, or needing to be supplied to in the assessment, I'm just wondering how that will be assessed. Will it be in that financial year? Will it be the previous event over the last 12 months? I'm guessing it's used as a way to work out what the hall is being used for and making sure that it's being used for community purposes. But I'm interested in knowing how that's going to be reported by the hall.
That's a good question. And I guess we have little information about the operation of those halls at the moment. So in terms of what that looks like for each hall, it may be a little bit different. So for us, in terms of administering that, I would say it's more opening up a conversation with those halls about how they operate, reflecting on what their previous program is and what their plans are for the next year or two. So it's not defined at this point. We want to have, a gentle approach in terms of just opening up that conversation with them all, how they're operating, what their programs look like, which could be different for each group. So it is not definitive at this point. We may sharpen that up as we move on in terms of, 12 months' time. With that grant, we might look at changing what that looks like in terms of how much information is provided. But I guess at the moment, it's just opening up the conversation.
The second question is just about the rationale behind the 2,000. So I reached out to a number of the halls, and all of the ones that replied to me said that they're paying, at an average, probably around 4,000 to 5,000 on their insurance. I'm just wondering if it's based on the pool of money that we had allocated.
Correct.
Divided by the halls.
Correct. So we've got 30,000 and there's 15 community owned halls, and we looked at, do we try and, have more for some and less for others? But because we're starting at a fairly low base in terms of the information that we've got on those halls and their size and all that sort of thing, we look for this first year, let's keep it as a blanket amount based on the budget that we've got.
Okay.
And then, review how it goes. Councillor Martin, Councillor Hammond, then I'll seek a mover.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I guess mine's a similar sort of question, but it relates to the use of the halls by for-profit entities. Now, part two of the criteria for the grant says must be a building or group of buildings that provide facilities for not-for-profit community groups to meet and undertake activities, and that is owned by an association with a defined purpose for our service to the community. For sake of clarity, this provision does not suggest the not-for-profit entity cannot undertake fundraising activities or offer the facility for paid bookings. Now, I think it does actually happen for some halls. We have a situation where a for-profit entity hires the hall quite regularly and uses a lot of time the hall. And then when community groups want to use it, it makes it difficult for them to actually get in and actually use it. Now, I guess my question is, have you given some thought to what criteria, what sort of percentage? Like, obviously, you're not going to include for-profit entities from hiring it at all, but is there any sort of thinking on that?
Good question.
It's a very good question, and we've had lots of chats internally about that, and even in relation to the halls that council manages, we know we have some halls that are just community based, and that we've got some little businesses operating in some of our halls. But as I've mentioned in the previous question, we're starting at a fairly low base in terms of the information that we have, so we're just at this point in time, I would suggest that this first 12 months is to keep it fairly simple, and we're trying to have equity across council-owned and community-owned halls so that we reimburse building insurance for both, which we have never done before. We've not supported community-owned halls previously. So that for this 12 months, that's really the base that we're starting from. But as part of that, where over these next 12 months, we start to collect information about that to help inform us for future grant programs and future support. So I would say really good question. We don't have the answers to some of that yet, we just don't have the information. So I would suggest that by the next 12 months, we start to collate that and come back and have some of the conversations.
Councillor Hammond, last question.
Yes, the figure of $2,000, I would assume that you've contacted the halls and said, what is your public liability insurance or your insurance? Well, the community owned halls, what is your building insurance? Is the $2,000 cover the premium?
Not necessarily, it's up to $3,000. So, as I mentioned before, we've got $30,000 in the budget. We're offering up to $3,000. So, we won't necessarily be able financially to reimburse all of their building insurance.
Will you be undertaking a survey then of the actual cost and looking at putting additional money into the budget bids for next year?
We can do that. If we're looking at the equity situation in terms of council-owned and community-owned, that's probably not a bad idea, Councillor, because at the moment we pay the full insurance for the council-owned buildings, whatever that may be. So if we're looking at that equity across the board, we probably should look at reviewing that. And I'm sure that when they submit their application, they'll provide us with a copy of their insurance premium paid, so we will have that information.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just before we have a move, there's obviously a lot of discussion around reviewing it in 12 months' time. Is that definitely going to come, or is it something we should build into the motion saying the council will review the guidelines in 12 months? Because it's clear there's a lot of interest around that.
Good question. And there's certainly some interest coming through from community hall operators. So we've just sent out a draft management services agreement for all of our council-owned halls. So you might start to receive some queries similar to what we have as we rolled out the new leases for our open spaces. We're starting to have a conversation with these groups. So that's going to open up a whole heap of questions. So in terms of when we do that review, we'll be reviewing as we go. I'd suggest we definitely would review it over the next 12 months.
Yeah.
So watch this space, I guess, for 3 months.
Yeah, I'll move it, but just making the point that
as a friend in the agenda.
I'd like to build a review date in. Perhaps a board of the policy be reviewed. Is this the appropriate time of the year to be doing the review or finish it this time of the year, or is it June?
So this is wrapped up with the rollout of the community recreation facilities policy. So we're not, this is just looking at the halls at the moment. But the whole community recreation facilities policy needs to be reviewed as part of the rollout for the new leases and management agreements, the opt-in, opt-out open space agreements. So that was endorsed commencing 1st of July 2023. We're a little bit late in terms of rolling it out. We've had so many one-on-one conversations with all our groups, so probably we should be reviewing all that in 1st of July 2024, I guess, but for us that's going to be a bit early.
So I guess we'll focus on the guidelines for this particular motion. Would you be comfortable with Councillor Hammond adding in the addition to review the building insurance grant guidelines in 12 months?
Yeah.
Are you happy with that?
Yes, that'd be fine.
Would you like to speak to the motion?
Yeah, just broken. That was one of the reasons that I one of the viewers spoke that I've had three community owned halls come in and say they're very grateful for the start, but if you look at what the council hall gets, and we that one provide a service to the community at no cost in effect to the council, they get their insurance paid. We could get $2,000, you know, that won't cover the premium. And if the all insurance is like my insurance in my house, it's just gone right through the roof. Mm-hmm. So I'd expect that their renewals, when they get to the next 12 months, will be substantially higher. One went up 20%. I didn't have a plan. In claims of the floods, I'm quite comfortable about helping them people with that. So 12 months, I think you'll have a chance to have a look at it. What are the real premiums, and if there is a substantial difference, I'll keep a watching brief on it as it were, to see what it's like and whether there is a need for equity between the halls to increase that $2,000 level.
Councillor Hammond, second then. Councillor Park.
Thank you. Yeah, I would like to second as printed, and obviously having the addition of the review period after 12 months. It is good to see some of the, I guess, policy guidelines.
compliance within the community and recreational facilities framework that can start to be rolled out, which is really good. I would just like to ask a question, and if it's inappropriate to ask it here, I'm happy to unask it. In the new whole tech thing that we're getting, the new CRM thing we're getting, I remember way back at the workshop a couple of years ago, we talked about the possibility of there being a central booking system for all of the halls in the Adelaide Council. So let's say you're at the Mount Torrens Hall, and you know, is that something our new system can do, or is that something it's designed to do ever?
Thank you, Councillor Parkin. Who they go to doing? An
thank one you, word you answer. Acting Mayor. Yes, it's not included in our first phase of implementation, but it's included in our second phase of implementation.
Thank you. I think that would be a great result potentially, and really enable people who run halls to, I guess, run them more efficiently, make the hall service, you know, I guess, promote what they're doing a lot better. So, sorry, due to the progression, I support the current motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Pogue. Councillor Mudge, you'd like to speak?
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Yes. Look, I support this motion wholeheartedly, but I do want to bring in a word of caution, which was sort of reflected in my question, and this is not actually exclusively about community halls. It's also about council-owned halls. There are some halls around the place that have small businesses running from them, you do have situations where you try and get in there as a community user, and it's impossible to find a booking. I won't mention some of the halls that I've had difficulty with. I would be concerned if we are subsidising the insurance for a hall which is actually pseudo being run as a for-profit business, because I guess if you're a not-for-profit committee that's running the hall, and you've got these regular bookers who are willing to pay, you know, commercial rates for the facility, and that provides you with income which you can then use on maintenance on the hall, it's a big temptation. So I think it's really important that we do have some consideration and some thought when we do review this policy in 12 months' time as to what criteria, what is too much, basically. And we probably want to flow that across to the way we support council hold as well. So I think that's something we need to do. But I think it's a really good move, and it's a really good move to provide equity across the council owned halls and the community owned halls across the council district. So I support on that.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Stillwood.
Yes, thank you. I'm through the acting mayor. I'm not through you, I'm not asking a question. I did reach out to a number of halls, and as I said, they all indicated that they insure multiple buildings, and their insurance is, you know, on average around $4,000 to $5,000. And I do think, to be equitable, we will need to review this and have another look at it. I do think it will help a lot of community groups. I know that for the halls that I'm regularly involved with, the first question they have each year is how are we going to meet our insurance costs, and that's the first thing they fundraise for. So this will free up some fundraising capacity for them to be able to put that energy into other projects and activating their halls. I do have a slightly differing view from Councillor Mudge. I know that a number of halls have small businesses and for-profit entities that are servicing the community, such as a yoga teacher who might be in there every Thursday night and wants to, you know, that yoga teacher may be earning an income, but they are also providing a service that community can't get elsewhere. So I do think it's important to have the ability for some for-profit activities, but I agree that it shouldn't be only and it shouldn't be predominant. It does need to have a community role in what they're doing. So I do commend the motion, and I think it's a good initiative.
Thank you. Councillor Gill.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor. Just taking up on Councillor Mudge's point, a lot of these community-owned halls actually have to have some small businesses in them just to have regular income to actually meet their expenses. So their electricity, their gas, their heating, insurances, rates, people have the public toilet which they have to pay food on. So there's a lot of costs that these halls have, and if they don't have those regular small businesses and those regular bookings, they actually can't function and they can't stay open. So I think we need to consider what the small business is actually doing for that community hall or even that council-owned hall. Another thing that I would just like to raise is some of the community halls actually don't have any regular bookings, so they're going to struggle to pay anything. And they're really struggling just to do this. So any assistance we can give them is really worthwhile. And I think that's why I'll be supporting this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Gill. Would anyone else like to speak? Going back to
the Councillor Hammond. Yes, I think there's general support from the Chamber. I suppose what, what Councillor Madison said about having commercial operators and halls, we need to tread very carefully on that one. I endorse what Councillor Gill had said. How do you define whether it's a commercial opportunity? It's a kinder gym program. It's like, is that a, I think that's a profit-making organisation. So where there's a regular booking, that generates a lot of income, and that's in the council premise. But they need, particularly the community halls, they need to be able to get their money from anywhere. And if they have to have a commercial operator in there to help them meet their income targets, well and good. But I accept there may be some criteria that need to be met. Yeah, there's no adverse comments, so I commend the motion.
Thanks, Councillor Hale. With debate closed, all those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. We'll move on to item 12.3, Treasury Policy Report. Mr. Lewis, do you have any new information to provide the Chamber?
Really, I'm not impressed. The report of the interest rate that policy was basically unchanged on the existing.
Thank you. Would someone like to move something? Councillor Opterstock.
Thank you, Mayor. As printed, thank you.
Councillor Sewell, would you like to second? Anyone like to speak to this item?
Exciting.
Oh no. We guess one more go the next one. Right. I guess given there's no debate, with debate closed, all those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Okay, moving on to item 12.4, debt recovery policy report. Mr. Lewis, any new or additional information to provide?
Similar to the Treasury report, there was a considerable review engaged with all the people who are in the process within council, and we found that the previous one was working effectively and efficiently, so we kept it almost entirely unchanged.
Thanks, Councillor Hearn.
Yes, well, I'll move the recommendation as printed. It has been working. Debtors' reports come twice a year to the Audit Committee, and there's one due in February, and we monitor the debt level, and this policy has worked fairly well. And I have seen the graph, but I'll leave it at that. So it has been working effectively.
Thank you, Councillor Hearn. We have a second. Councillor Grant, would you like to speak to the motion?
No, no, just speak to the motion.
Does anyone like to debate the item? I need to write a reply then. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously as well. We will move on to item 12.5. Council resolution support for February 2024. Would someone like, Ms. Atkins, I assume there's nothing new to add to this?
No.
No? Okay. So would someone like to move something related to this item? Councillor Stoffer.
Sorry. That's spare with me. I've just got to get my. I'll move it as printed. Thank you.
Now you know it. I'm like second the motion.
It's not working. The formatting is not working.
Councillor Grant. Okay, would anyone like to debate? All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. So we're moving on to confidential items review. Just one point about this. Although it is in relation to confidential items, we're not going into confidence, and the purpose of this is to determine whether we extend the confidence of particular items. Although it's generally quite straightforward, I would like to, as always, move each decision independently just because they are different items. If you have questions about the specific item that is in confidence, I encourage you to ask it offline unless you really feel that there is a need to ask questions in order to make a decision, because then we need to go into conference. Ms. Atkins, do you have any new information you'd like to add in relation to this?
Yes, I do, through your worship. In relation to the final report areas that were highlighted yellow, just so you are aware, I never update the due dates on those. I still have the due dates for 2024. Reason being, if I updated in the system, then obviously it will update and have your photograph and left it as it was. If these will get passed, then obviously I'll update it tomorrow.
Thank you. So we have a number of decisions. Would someone like to move decision one as printed in the agenda? Councillor Mudge, and do I have a second to Councillor Osterstock? Is there any debate in relation? Okay, all those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. So we'll move on to decision two. The decision two, would someone like to move something in relation to that item? Councillor Grant and seconder. Councillor Cheetah. Does anyone like to debate? If not, all those in favour, please indicate. Thank you. Carried unanimously. Moving on to decision three. Someone like to move something in relation to that. Councillor Osterstock. And Councillor Parkin as a seconder.
Question.
Sure.
Decision three, first off, point report 21, remain competitive and put in March 24th. Is that the one?
No, that's all good. Extended as the
veterans
comment.
So
did I?
By 1 year.
Yeah, so with this item, from what I saw earlier when I spoke to the CEO, that date should be updated to 2025 for the motion itself. Is that correct? Otherwise, it is only being. So, if we look at dot point one, it says remain confidential to the 14th of March 2024, and that this will be reviewed every 12 months. That date should be changed to 2025. Is that correct?
That's a point that actually relates to the report prior. If you actually go down further into the final determinations, that's where it actually states that it would be renewed until 2025 for a further 12 months.
Can I see that?
Dot
point one actually relates to the initial report.
So we could be drawn to where 2025 is stated, but can't see that in the motion.
Certainly, I'll just find the page. So do we then need to change it in the motion? Because that's what you're voting on. So it should actually be the motion. It's actually on page. It's actually on page five, where it actually states the order be extended until March 14th, 2025, and reviewed every 12 months.
I'm saying the resolution should say that.
Yeah, correct.
I'll accept that variation.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay.
Thank you. Right. Good question, Councillor. Does anyone else like to ask anything? No? All those in favour, please indicate that is carried unanimously.
Look, me, there's a cleaning one.
I asked that question earlier today and I thought it was updated. So we do have the same for the next item where it currently says 14th of March 2024 in the first dot point, and that should be changed to 2025. So if we just scroll down a little bit to the start of the next page on the second line. So with that minor but important change, would anyone like to move something in relation? Councillor Grant, you'd like to move as on the screen?
Yes.
Noting the only change is that one number. Councillor Mudge, you're happy to second. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Moving on to the next decision, and this also has a date that needs to be updated in the first dot point. This is February 2025, so just on the third line.
No, isn't that the actual report that we're returning?
Just here. Confidential until.
That's one.
Yes, correct.
Not the third one.
Okay, would someone like to move something with that minor change? Councillor Herman, you're happy to move. Councillor Grant, have a second. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried in. Moving on to number six, noting that this says until this matter has concluded, so we don't need to update any data for it. Councillor Grant and then Councillor Gill. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. And last one for this, again, it's until the matter is concluded, so there's no need to adjust the date here. Someone can move something. Councillor Gill and then Councillor Osterstock. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Okay, we do have one administration report around annual investment performance. Simply to receive and note this report. Mr. Lewis, do you have any additional information you'd like to provide?
No, Your Worship.
So I'd like to move something in relation to this item. Councillor Graham, would you like to speak to the item?
No, I don't want to speak to it. Thank you.
Someone like to second. Councillor Cheetah, would you like to speak to the item?
No.
Anyone like to contribute to the debate? Okay, all those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously as well. So we do have correspondence noting from Adelaide Hills Project for Tourism, a letter from Honourable Zoe Bettison, MP, and we do have a motion just to receive that correspondence as shown on the screen. Councillor Park, and you're happy to move as on the screen?
Yeah.
Seconder, Councillor Mudge. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously as well. Okay, so we're moving on to... It can be a question without notice. What's your question?
My question is, I look forward to working with you on Friday the 16th of February. And CEO, do we have a representative at this meeting?
You mean an elected member representative?
No, I just wanted as a staff member, anyone at the
CEO.
The forum on the
16th. For you acting there, that was a Hills Planning Forum that Minister Bettison was arranging coming out of discussions that were had from Country Cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
That was scheduled for this Friday. It has been rescheduled by the Minister's Office to now occur in May. We don't have a date on that yet, but both Greg and myself and staff will be in attendance at that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions without notice? Councillor Gill.
Thank you, through you, Mayor. Just got a question. I've had some residents contact me, concerned by some rumours that there are plans to remove the memorial cross from the Stirling Library lawn and move them to a more tucked away location. I just want to have some confirmation for those residents that those rumours are actually involved and that there's no plans to actually move the memorial from the Stirling Library lawn away at its current location.
Through the acting mayor, I think they're mischievous rumours, so we'll end at that.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Hemming, Councillor Chair, the same copy, yeah?
Just want to add, sure. Just a recollection from a workshop that we had, it was presented as a not something that's impossible with the master plan for that space, which might have come out of that. So I don't think it was the intent, it was just gone if council decided it wanted. To do that, it could. There was an indication of an intent.
Something is possible, but not necessarily. Yeah. Councillor Herman.
Yes, a question in regard to the Mayor's extended leave of absence. In view of the Mayor's long-term absence, are the current allowances payable to the Mayor continued during their period of leave? CEO?
Yes, through the Mayor, thank you for the question. Yes, the allowance will continue.
Right through.
Yes.
Thank you.
Councillor Hammond, supplementary.
In addition to the additional workload being assigned to the Deputy Mayor, now Acting Mayor, could Council consider appointing an Acting Deputy Mayor? Not now, but consideration of your workload, I guess you'll be able to make that assessment whether you can do two jobs, Deputy Mayor and Acting Mayor. I'll just make that comment. Maybe we need to get some advice on that from the CEO at a future date.
So, advice as to whether it would be appropriate to have someone, not technically, but backfill the deputy mayor, should I not be? I mean, obviously, there'll be times where I'll seek support from other elected members to go to events or whatever it might be. in saying that I'll try to be doing as much as possible. Whether we formalise that, that's a good question, but we can just leave it with the CEO.
You can take that from this.
Councillor Boyd.
Yes, through you, Acting Mayor. My question follows on from Councillor Herman's, and that is, as we do have our Deputy Mayor working in the Mayor's role for a considerable amount of time, can our Deputy Mayor in that role be reimbursed at the same rate that the Mayor
would? With the change in regulations, anything over a month, yes, it does occur. So I will be due to the length of time that I'll be in this role.
Thank you.
Any other questions to Councillor Grant?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. My question is perhaps for Ms. Armstrong. Is there any update on the fabric handover and opening date?
Thank you, through you, Acting Mayor. At this stage, I actually did a site visit yesterday morning to see the progression. We don't have a firm date from them as yet. They are talking mid-March. I wouldn't be surprised if we're actually talking mid-April, given the amount that's still to be done. So we're being flexible with our hard opening on that and the progression of our development programs and exhibitions to start. At the moment, my gut feel is we're probably looking at a May soft opening by the time we get the site handed over, deal with defects, and then do the internal fit out of furniture and such. So looking at doing a soft opening, getting some activation happening at the site before we do the hard opening with the minister, etc.
Just a follow-up question with regards to that. Obviously it was scheduled to be completed at the end of last year, and that's a fairly significant delay. And are they made accountable at all for that?
Through you, Acting Mayor, and I'll look at Mr. Waters, given it's his team doing the delivery. But yes, being out on site yesterday, I'm very comfortable that our property project team who are managing this are keeping the contractors very much to account. So they do have delays with certain materials and also with contractors, but they are pushing very, very hard.
Any other questions without notice? Do we have any motions without notice this evening? Okay, so we'll move on to reports. 17.1, Council Member Function or Activity on the Business of Council. Just note those, I think. 17.2, reports of members' officers as council representatives on external organisations. Councillor Herman?
Just briefly, I attended a special workshop for the Gawler River Flood Management Authority on the 8th of February at Manopara, that is looking at the flood proofing of the Gawler River. It was a confidential workshop. Some of that material will be going to the board meeting on Thursday. Unfortunately, I can't be there, but I understand my very trusted deputy, Ms. West, Armstrong will be there.
Thank you. Councillor March?
Yeah, I'm going to be a bit sneaky here because it's based on the previous item, but it's sure. Time, I guess, does relate a bit to my role in the reconciliation working group. I just wanted to make a comment about an event which I attended on the 26th of January. It was called the Survival Day event. It was held at Larapinga Wetlands at Nambaka. And it was organised by an organisation called the Paramount Council. And it had over 1,000 people attending it. And it was a really, really good event. And it had a lot of Aboriginal people there. And to me, it sort of puts to rest the idea that the Paramount community in Hills is only a very small percentage of our population, so therefore we don't need to take them into account. The organisers organise the bus to bring people up from the city. There's obviously a lot of people from outside of our area who have some sort of relationship to this area, Paramount people and associated people, and there's also a lot of people, I guess you'd call them allies. And I think it's really important, there's been a bit of publicity about
events occurring on the 26th of January and council not sponsoring them and things like that, and how there was protest events and things like that. And I think it's really important that we also note this particular event that did occur. It did actually have some in-kind support from Mount Parker Council, which I thought was really good. And it may be if this event occurs in 12 months' time, it might be something we might consider supporting in some way, shape, or form, given our previously expressed policy on the 26th of January. So I'll just sort of be worth mentioning that.
Councillor Boyd.
Really, Mayor, I would just note that I attended the function as well, and that it was surprisingly well organised, and they had strong backing from Mount Barker Council, and I'd recommend it to anyone who wants to go in the future, and maybe we can do something with them one day too.
And if we could just jump those two points, I think Councillor Herman, so Councillor Marge and Councillor Boyd in 17.1, because that's where they sit, and have a bit of leeway to speak for them. So I'll go on to the CEO now, who can provide a verbal update.
Yeah, thank you, and through the acting mayor, just a very high order update of what I've been working on. Of course, I've been working on the internal communication strategy with the team. Also, an all-staff survey with the senior leadership teams coming up this week. Just do a bit of a pulse check of where the organisation's at. The other thing, working on my KPIs, and they're progressing well and working with the committee. And we'll be reporting back to the council accordingly. And a couple of other short things, strategic plan, looking at a bit more of a framework and schedule for that to engage the elected members, staff and community ultimately. And finally, just very quickly, working with Green Industries as recently as today to see what partnership opportunities will be presented or forged moving forward. So I was meeting with David and Sharon today, so it was quite a positive meeting. So thank you, and I'm happy to take any questions on those matters.
Any questions to the CEO? Councillor Budge.
Would you be able to provide any updates on any engagement with the owners of across the road, the
yes.
site, whether there's been any further discussions with them?
Yes, and thank you. That was on the list, but I somehow didn't raise that. Look, I've had some very productive conversations with Warwick Mitiger. He can confirm, and he's happy to publicly confirm just that Woolworths will be rebuilding there. They will be coming back. They want them there sooner than later. And of course, he wants to work very closely with us around activating the public realm and the Main Street, and see if there's an opportunity to make it look a bit different and feel different to what it is at the moment. So that's an exciting opportunity for us, and he's happy to collaborate with us quite closely. So thank you for the question.
Yeah. No further questions. Okay, we will move on to item 18, which is a report of committees. In saying that, we have no reports from any of our four committees. I guess approved at this or noted at this meeting. So from that, we'll move on to number 19, which is a confidential item. A bit farewell to gallery. Thanks for coming along to see you in person.
I didn't recognise Joseph, Deputy Mayor. Nice to have you. Looks good.
It's not going to be first time.
This is the boring part.
All right. So, obviously, the first thing we need to do is to move into confidence. So, can we just get the motion up on the screen, please? Thank you. Okay, so is there any, everyone? Okay, so can I have us move into confidence? Councillor Boyd, go into confidence, a mover. Councillor Keita as a seconder. All those in favour, please indicate. Those carried unanimously. We are now in confidence. So is the 27th of February 2024, 6:30 p.m. I closed the meeting at 8:42, but as I said,